This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. This podcast is brought to you by Joy sponsor Pam Ann.
Hello, Melbourne. It's Pam Ann here. I'm so excited. I'm going to be touching down at the Comedy Theatre in August. See you soon. I love you, Melbourne. Mwah.
Set to land in Melbourne this August for two hilarious shows, Friday, August 24 and Saturday, August 25. Get your tickets now at ticketmaster.com.au.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
I'm Rachel Tyler-Jones. Welcome to The Informer's monthly Media Watch segment, looking at the highs and lows of Australian media coverage of issues relevant to the LGBTIQA+ community and the larger fight for equality. First on the table, as reported in The Australian, the University of Sydney's oldest debating team will this year field teams of debaters comprised mainly of
non-cis males, women, and persons marginalised by white supremacy,
as well as students from non-elite public schools. Reporter David Penberthy from The Herald Sun has taken issue with the affirmative action policy, calling it
mollycoddling.
While his article, published on March 24th, outlines that the policy aims to
smash the historic stranglehold of cashed-up private school white boys,
Penberthy labels this bid for equality as laughable. As he writes,
the idea that you'd preclude capable debaters from the team to make way for someone with no discernible talent, other than a high degree of confusion about their private pasts, is a hysterical joke.
As well as being a highly offensive and reductionist description of the trans, intersex or gender non-conforming students who may benefit from this policy, Penberthy's commentary is so focused on student genitalia that it completely erases all the non-elite public school students, women, people of colour and other groups historically marginalised from debating who will also benefit from this inclusive policy. David Penberthy of The Herald Sun, your final score is as follows. Minus 10 points for failing to report that literally anyone other than white private school boys can be talented at debating. Minus 10 points for making an article about an affirmative action policy all about your own anti-trans opinions. And minus 10 points for writing a generally offensive, bigoted article. As a side note, plus 50 points to the University of Sydney Debating Club for enacting this policy. I look forward to hearing the results. Now to sport, where we see Nine News' coverage of the AFL banning Hannah Mountsey from the AFLW 2018 season is more than a little one-sided. For those that may not know, Mountsey, a trans woman, was not allowed to participate in the 2018 season of the AFL Women's League, despite being cleared to play in the VFLW and the AFLW Canberra Leagues this season. In the article we are discussing, written by Sasha Mazarbajan and published in the Nine News website on March 20th, the focus is on the opinion comments of ex-male footballer Chris Judd. Judd, while being very familiar with the sport, is not a known expert in transgender issues. Both he and football writer Caroline Wilson are quoted giving their opinion on the biological or medical reasons it is appropriate to ban Mountsey from playing in the Women's League this season. The reporter does not include any commentary from medical experts, experts in trans issues, other trans athletes, other AFLW athletes, or even Mountsey herself. Sasha of the Nine Network, your final score is as follows. Minus 5 points for presenting opinion-laden quotes as news, and minus 10 points for failing to represent the other side of the story in any way. In the interests of journalistic fairness, we acknowledge that sometimes journalists are not given the time or the funding to do any more than the bare minimum. So, minus 20 points to the Nine Network for commissioning this piece. Still in sport, Michelangelo Rucci from The Herald Sun reports on the AFL closing a case from the AFLW, in which an unnamed Crows player allegedly accused an unnamed GWS player of touching her, quote-unquote, backside, and speaking to her in a sexual tone during the match. The Giants player denied the allegation, and the AFL chose to close the case without laying charges. In his article, Rucci claims that this is the AFL attempting to
avoid focus on lesbian content
in the AFLW, stating that
there's no running away from the fact that there are proud lesbians in the AFLW.
Is that something we're running away from, Michelangelo? The article then makes the link between allegedly touching another player on the backside and the racist comments the men's AFL competition has tried to eradicate from the field. field. The article claims that
this is a throwback to the attitude that allowed racism to continue on the VFL-AFL fields.
To clarify, Rucci appears to be claiming that alleged lesbian activity during games is akin to racism. Confused? So are we. The article is a mess. Rucci's coverage finishes with a token statement about the problem of the AFL not supporting a woman speaking out against sexual harassment. But the body of the article does not talk about the problem of women who speak out against sexual abuse historically not being believed, especially by large institutions such as the AFL. Instead, it makes a confusing link between being a lesbian and being a racist. Michelangelo Rucci of the Herald Sun, your final score is as follows. Minus 10 points for a generally confusing article. Minus 5 points for missing the point. And minus 20 points for the awkward and offensive analogy you made between one incident of alleged backside touching and the years of damage done by a deeply embedded culture of racism in the AFL. I would also like to give a dishonourable mention to Benedict Brook of news.com.au for suggesting that Daylesford can be
like Mardi Gras all year round.
Spoiler alert, it's not. And making the LGBTI community sound like a herd of wildebeest migrating across the plains.
LGBTI people, who used to commonly pack together for safety and community in intercity enclaves, are on the move.
Benedict, minus 10 points for failing to write for your audience. In the context of a mainstream news website like news.com.au, the language in this hyperbolic article just sounds dehumanising. But it's not all bigotry, bias and bad writing in the media this month. Farah Thomason of Fairfax Media published a brilliant piece of investigative journalism on March 9th. It was a deep dive into the hidden world of gay conversion therapy in Australia. Thomason spoke to members of our communities who had experienced gay conversion therapy firsthand and investigated Christian groups practicing gay conversion therapy, despite claims that they do not, quote-unquote, force people to change. Farah Thomason, your work is thorough, well-researched, eye-opening and of great social importance. Your work sets an example to which we in the media should all aspire. That's it for this month. If you see any stories or pieces of news in the media that need further analysis or comments, then be sure to let us know. I'm Rachel Tyler-Jones, and you've been listening to The Informer's monthly Media Watch segment, looking at the highs and lows of Australian media coverage of issues relevant to the LGBTIQA plus community and the larger fight for equality.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.